The United States has been called the most narcissistic nation in the world. We invented Facebook, Twitter, selfies. We wear t-shirts that say things like, "World's best dad," and "What's your favorite part of talking to me?" Our politicians routinely call America the greatest nation in the world. So how did America get to be so full of itself? Producer Doug Gordon, who grew up in Canada, has often wondered that. So he reached out to Elizabeth Lundbeck, the author of The Americanization of Narcissism.
Elizabeth, do you think we're living in an especially narcissistic time right now?
That is what you would read in the popular media. And I'm certainly not going to argue that there's not a lot of narcissism out there, but the same argument was made in the 1970s about the baby boomers, and I'm among them, that we were the most narcissistic generation in history. So now we have the same argument being made again, the most narcissistic generation in history. I think, sure, there is a lot of narcissism, but as a historian, I'm suspicious when I hear these kinds of claims because it kind of posits that there was a golden age when we weren't this way, that things were completely different and our characters changed in the space of a decade or so. It's a little too simple for my mind, for my taste, but right, there is a lot of narcissism out there, but I would certainly not blanket the younger generation mm-hmm. with that diagnosis. I think it's kind of sloppy thinking.
Yeah, and you mentioned the media, and of course the media has a tendency to amplify things that make for a good copy. They tend to speak in superlatives, and so now it's kind of a sexy and thing to get attention to say, oh, this is the most narcissistic time, this is the new golden age of narcissism.
Right. So bad news sells papers.
Yeah, exactly. If it bleeds, it leads.
Right. So that's part of it. But I'm also interested in the enduring fascination of the category, which I think the conversation speaks to.
Yeah. One of the things that researchers point to as evidence of this being an especially narcissistic age, rightly or wrongly, involves something called the Narcissistic Personality Inventory, or NPI. What exactly is the NPI?
The NPI is a 40-question forced choice test developed by psychologists in, I think, 1978 that offers subjects two very discrete possibilities to answer. So I think of myself as a good leader, or I don't mind following others. There's no gray in between. That's what it's a forced choice. It's a whole series of questions. You answer them, and then they're all added up so that you get a score. And much of the argument about narcissism being epidemic today is based on a slight, though if the sample's large enough, it's significant, increase in scores over time on the NPI. My problem with the NPI, and even some psychologists' problem with the NPI, is that it conflates, doesn't distinguish among traits that are actually considered by many to be signs of health, and traits that are associated with a more malignant personality style. They're all just added together. It's not a dynamic way of understanding the personality. It's a static kind of picture of personality.
So you're saying then that narcissism isn't always a problem, that we can distinguish between malignant narcissism and a more healthy kind of narcissism?
Right. That is the sort of central issue in my book, is how did we lose sight of healthy narcissism? And I should say that healthy narcissism was not a creation of the me decade, the 1970s, but it was first outlined in 1930s Vienna by psychoanalysts in an age of depression, shortage, asceticism, and so on. So it's not kind of an excrescence of our own narcissism. And the idea behind healthy narcissism is that you need a certain amount of sense of self, self-feeling, to do anything in the world.
Yeah.
That you can't accomplish anything without being a little bit narcissistic.
Yeah. You talk a lot about Christopher Lasch's 1978 book, The Culture of Narcissism. Can you tell me a bit about the book?
Well, the book was a sensation when it was published. And it would be hard to overstate that, because now we've kind of lost sight of psychoanalysis in the popular discussion. But it was a very psychoanalytically influenced book. It appeared to great acclaim.
Bestseller?
Oh, it was a bestseller. He visited the White House. Jimmy Carter talked to him, as Jimmy Carter's favorite book on sort of the self in American history. He was in People magazine. It also coincided with a renewed interest in narcissism within psychoanalysis. And he kind of brilliantly drew on the new writings about narcissism within psychoanalysis and his own cultural critique to fashion this wholesale indictment of the American character.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Lash saw a correlation between the decline of the U.S. and the rise in narcissism.
Right. So national character declines as narcissism is on the rise. It fits into a long tradition of social science, sociology, the sort of declensionist narrative that, you know, we're going to hell in a handbasket. But what I think gave it its particular allure is this new word narcissism, which has a kind of appealing resonance to it. It sounds very learned. It's classical. It means that you're not just saying someone's a jerk, they're a narcissist. It conjures up a much more kind of interesting array of traits. He brilliantly brought that into the conversation about the failings of the American self.
Hmm. The title of your book, The Americanization of Narcissism, makes me wonder about the U.S.'s relationship with narcissism versus the way other countries experience narcissism. I'm wondering, is there something unique about the Americanization of narcissism versus, say, the Swedenization of narcissism or the Czech Republicization of narcissism?
Well, it's easier to say. It flows
off
the tongue
for sure.
More easily.
Yeah. A lot easier.
There's a kind of ambiguity in the title that's intentional. So many people would argue that America is the most narcissistic nation on earth. And my claim is it's hard to establish that one way or the other. I mean, there's all kinds of kind of cultural claims you could make about that. What I'm focused on is how it was appropriated in America and made an American malady in the 1970s. Britons looking at us and are worrying the concept in the 70s were like, what's going on with America? What's wrong with them? Why are they so self-flagellating? The rest of the world's caught up in their interest in narcissism, but it really was taken from a kind of clinical conversation into a public conversation by Americans and made part of a sort of ongoing cultural critique of ourselves in the 70s. So that's what I, in part, am referring to when I talk about the Americanization of the concept.
Yeah. And one of the people involved in this cultural critique is a psychoanalyst named Heinz Kohut. What did Kohut think about narcissism?
So Kohut's a really interesting figure. Viennese emigre, moved to Chicago, was for many years an Orthodox Freudian, and plotted, I would say, very brilliantly a kind of revolution within psychoanalysis around narcissism. Kohut's contribution was to pick up earlier strands of thinking that had not really been woven together very well, having to do with the necessity for a certain amount of positive self-feeling. And his argument to his fellow psychoanalysts was there is such a thing as healthy narcissism, that grandiosity, exhibitionism in the young and children is part of a developmental process. And we should not immediately reprove our patients for their narcissistic strivings, but we should listen to them, allow them to develop a healthy sense of self. And this was very much against prevailing kind of very negative views of narcissism as a developmental arrest, as something associated with homosexuals, as something that there was not much good to say about. So
yeah.
Kohut is really kind of the carrier of a notion of healthy narcissism.
So what can we do to redefine narcissism and embrace its positive qualities?
Well, I think the management literature is actually an interesting starting point, because there's a lot of sort of fascination with the charisma, independence, even more darkly, the lack of empathy among successful narcissists that I think offers the opportunity to reopen the conversation. And I think what we can do is stop making it a kind of us versus them argument, but think about it as us versus us. That we, the people, are drawn to people who exhibit a lot of narcissism in many cases. If narcissists were not attractive, it wouldn't be a problem. It would be very easy to say, no, go away, I'm not going to fall under your sway. The problem is that narcissists can be extremely skilled at drawing us into their project, into their ambit. And then we get used in ways that we're not fully aware of, but they feel very destabilizing and then cast aside. So I think sort of coming to terms with and in a way almost depathologizing narcissism and coming to terms with its ubiquity and its necessity will, I think, allow us to better deal with its malignant expressions.
Okay. Just be selective in terms of what management literature we choose to read. Like, we probably
right.
shouldn't read Al Dunlap's autobiography, Chainsaw Al, who laid off all those people at Sunbeam and ran the company into the ground.
He is seen as kind of an example of the narcissist who went over the line, but
yeah.
he was someone who had a vision and so on.
Elizabeth Lundbeck is the author of The Americanization of Narcissism. She spoke with Doug Gordon. So if you'd like to find out where you fall on the Narcissistic Personality Inventory Scale, there's a link to a quiz based on the NPI on our website at ttbook.org.